We live in a society where lying is like a second language. You know, you get on the internet and you Google lying, or you Google how do we see lying, how do people see lying, or how does the world see lying, et cetera, et cetera. And you have all kinds of information about lying, whether you should lie, whether you should not lie, you know. What is a lie that's okay? What is a lie that is not? And they have a lot of information. Even books that they sell to tell you or help you to find out how someone is lying. And we look at society today and we see that there are all kinds of lies. And it's very easy to believe the lie. A lot of people listen to different TV channels and certain news media. What is being told to us? Is it the truth or is it a lie? Lying is an everyday occurrence, and people do it for a variety of reasons. Today I've titled the message, Lying and Deceit. It's everywhere. What is God's take on lying and deceit? And are we aligning ourselves with his take? That's something for us to think about and to ask ourselves as we go through this message. What does God say about lying? You know, if they just would go to the Bible, you'd have a short response, maybe a few responses, and then you could explain it. I'm going to read scriptures that you won't have time to turn to today. We'll turn to a few that we will read together. But in Proverbs, it says, a righteous man hates lying. That's Proverbs 13:5. Hate is a strong word. Lying. You look up that word in the definition, it says, extremely unpleasant. Lying is extremely unpleasant. You look up the Hebrew definition. It's repulsive. It's repugnant. You continue in that scripture in Proverbs. It says, but a wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame. He loves to lie. Doesn't care if it's repugnant. Doesn't care if it's repulsive. What about you and I? Scripture reveals many people that have lied in the Bible. People that God worked with in the Bible. I mean, Adam and Eve hiding from God when he came looking for them. Cain lied about killing his brother. Abraham lied about his wife, Sarah. Joseph's brothers lied about the whereabouts of Joseph to their father. Jacob deceived and lied to his brother and also his father. Rahab lied to the soldiers. Does that make lying and being deceitful okay with God? Of course not. In Titus, it says, in hope, we have hope, we have trust, we believe in God. It says, in hope of eternal life. Isn't that what the Bible reveals to those who follow God, live to God, work on overcoming their nature? God wants to give us a gift of eternal life. It says, which God, who cannot lie, he cannot, it's not in his nature, he promised this before time began. That's Titus 1:2. Now, if we were living our lives, we had a God who created us, who's given us the Bible, telling us how that we should live, but then he pulls the rug out from underneath us because he lies. We would feel, wow. But you know what? That's not the case. That's what we do when we lie ourselves. Those whom God calls, he expects to overcome. I use this scripture quite often. You know, it tells us that all liars will be thrown in the second death. If it is revealed to us that we are not to lie, yes, we have a conscience and we have a spirit in man, but if God's Holy Spirit is working with us and he's showing us that our nature is contrary to his nature, and that he's teaching us to be a slave to him, which Satan does everything in his power to help our nature to struggle with that concept. Our nature struggles with that concept to be a slave to God. Jesus Christ says, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." We must lose our understanding, our way of life, our thought process. We must stop being deceitful, and we must stop lying, as well as overcoming all evil and hearing those words of God. We are to take on Christ. We are to reject all forms of evil. And if we reject God and his understanding by compromising what Christ reveals to us, that is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. We talked about that in the question and answer session last week. What is blasphemy? It's a willful rejection of God's truth. Mark 8:38, Christ says, "For whoever is ashamed of me," are we ashamed of hearing God's words? I have to ask myself that. "And my words," he says, "for whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him, the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in his glory of his Father with the holy angels." So Christ is coming to judge. And if we're ashamed of the truth, he's going to be ashamed of us. He's going to give us what we've been seeking. Let's turn over to Jeremiah chapter 9. How bad, as we turn over here, did lying become in Jeremiah's day? Jeremiah was, God knew he needed a prophet. So Jeremiah was conceived, he was born. He was born to be a prophet, to speak God's truth in an adulterous nation of Judah. Jeremiah 9, how bad did lying become? Let's look at it. Jeremiah 9, starting in verse 3, "And like their bow, they have bent their tongues for lies. They are not valiant for the truth on the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, says the Lord." So they're going a direction that is contrary to the way God wants them to live. "Everyone take heed to his neighbor, and do not trust any brother. For every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanderers." Verse 5, "Everyone will declare," or deceive. It says everyone will deceive his neighbor. Everyone. That was at that time back then. Are we there now? It does get darker before the return of Jesus Christ. "And they will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies. They weary themselves to commit iniquity. Your dwelling place is in the midst of deceit." So that's what they wanted to do. That was their desire. "Through deceit, they refused to know me, says the Lord." They wanted to practice their ways. They wanted to be deceived. They wanted to be held captive by Satan. "Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will refine them and I will try them." So God is only going to allow this for so long. "For how shall I deal with the daughter of my people? Their tongue is an arrow shot out. It speaks deceit. One speaks peacefully to his neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart he lies in wait. He says one thing, nice, kind, but then in his heart is totally the opposite. Shall I not punish them for these things, says the Lord? Shall I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? Yes. They went into captivity. They went into captivity. And if you look at Scripture, history repeats itself. The ninth commandment. They could post on the internet the ninth commandment. One says, is it okay to lie? Well, let's just go to what God says. But we just read people like deceit. They don't want to go there. But the ninth commandment for us, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Don't lie. Witness. You know, you can have a lying witness. You can have a truthful witness. If a witness in a courtroom lies, giving testimony on the witness stand, what is he doing? He can commit perjury against himself. He can go to jail for that. In a courtroom, but in society, it's okay. You know, Proverbs, another one to look at. Sometimes you see in that courtroom where you know, we know they're guilty. At least it, you know, especially when they're pleading the fifth, when a question is answered to them, right? Why are they pleading the fifth? Proverbs, whoever is a partner with a thief hates his own life. He swears to tell the truth, but reveals nothing. That's Proverbs 29, verse 24. Also, and Psalm, whose mouth speaks lying words, and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Right? Raise your right hand. Tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's Psalm 144, verse 8. God expects us to be faithful witnesses. Faithful witnesses to the truth. Christ does not lie. Scripture tells us that he's a true witness. Revelation 3:14. Let me read it to you. Revelation 3:14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write, these things says the Amen. The faithful and the true witnesses, or actually the faithful and true witness, the beginning of creation of God. Talking about Jesus Christ. The faithful and true witness. We can count on Jesus Christ. We can count on God. Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. The firstborn from the dead and the ruler over all the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He teaches the truth. He shows us the way of how to become truth. He's our helper, helps us to overcome deception. God has given us his Holy Spirit so that we can be of the truth. If we take that Holy Spirit and use it to be connected to God, as we're told in Romans 8:9 and Romans 8:14, you know, God's word is preached from true witnesses. Matthew 24:14, we're going to turn over here in just a little bit, but let me read this to you right now. Matthew 24:14, and the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel, the good news. That's what gospel means. It's good news. It's the truth of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. Just like in Elijah's time, just like in John the Baptist's time, when he was preparing the way of Jesus Christ, Elijah preparing the people, there will be an Elijah type in the end time. Maybe it's the two witnesses. They'll be of the truth. At the same time, we have the angel going around the world during the tribulation. God's word will go out. There will be those who hear it and others who will reject it. In Acts, Christ says to the apostles, when they were with Christ, waiting for the Holy Spirit, waiting for the day of Pentecost, he says, but you shall receive power. Power is going to come from the Holy Spirit to grow, to change, to overcome, something that you can't do on your own, something that can only come from the power of God. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. We're going to witness what Jesus Christ is and what he teaches. That's Acts 1:8. There are only a few true witnesses for God who choose to follow, to be led by him. The rest of humanity continue in evil. Let me read to you in Isaiah, justice is turned back. And righteousness stands afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. So truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself prey. If we got out into the streets and started pointing fingers at people and showing them what they're doing wrong in the Bible, we don't even have to do that. We're prey if we stand up for the truth. People don't want to hear the truth. That's Isaiah 59, verse 14 and 15. And then in Jeremiah 5:1, it says, run. God is saying this. He's saying to Jeremiah, in the day of Judah, God's people. Israel's already been taken into captivity. He says, run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem. See now and know and seek in her open places. If you find a man, meaning, or if you find a person, if there is anyone who executes judgment, who seeks the truth, I will pardon. I will pardon her. I'll pardon the whole city. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 24. As time goes on, evil will increase. I know we want God's kingdom, and yes, we do. Here we see that the disciples, they're learning of Christ and they're asking questions. Matthew 24, verse 3. And now he sat on the Mount of Olives, this is Jesus Christ, and the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? They wanted to know. They wanted to know when this kingdom was going to be set up. But what does Christ say to them? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed. Take heed. You be aware. I'm warning you. Take heed. Turn your thought process around. You look up that word in the Greek. Have a direct thinking of your mind. Consider. Contemplate, look what's coming on the scene. Look what you need to be doing. Take heed that no one deceives you. lying. People are going to be lying. People are going to be in deception. And he's warning us. He's warning us now. And he's warning us that it's going to escalate. Verse 5. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Deception, lies. People will teach a different gospel. A false Christianity, a counterfeit. There will be lies and deceit. Question for you and I. Will we recognize it? Are we recognizing it today? Verse 6, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. A rumor. What is a rumor? You look that up. It's a current circulating story or report of uncertain or doubtful truth. It's not true. Wars, yes, and also rumors of wars. Could be battles. Could be disputes, could be strife, could be quarrels. We know there's going to be battles, but it doesn't just end there. What about the quarreling, the disputes, the strife? That was what we see today. It's going to escalate. We're being warned. Prepare. Have your mindset. Be ready. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines. Famine of the word and famines physically. You know, Abraham Lincoln, I have a quote here, says here, that the greatest dangers to a nation often come not from external threats, but from within. Right? We know that the external coming comes when a nation is no longer strong and can't defend itself. But from within, he says, at what point then is the approach of danger to be expected, he asks. I answer, if it ever reaches us, it must spring up amongst us. It cannot come from abroad. If destruction be our lot, we must ourselves be its author and finisher. He saw this. It was one of his quotes. You know, God speaking through the prophet Isaiah around the time of the downfall of Israel says, the whole head is sick, and the whole heart faints. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. That's how God describes evil, lying and deceit, anything contrary to his ways. That's Isaiah 1. Verses 5 and 6. God also identified the nation's leaders as a source of corruption as well. For the leaders of his people caused them to err, and those who are led by them are destroyed. That's Isaiah 9:16. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Don't follow a man. Well, that was a great sermon today. Or we follow our leaders today. They're fine with lying. They're fine with deceit. All the way from the first president of the United States, I shall not tell a lie. I think that was George Washington. Look how that's escalated to today, how people are living their lives. People see. Oh, he does it. Must be okay. We justify it. God speaking through the prophet Jeremiah says, an astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely. They lie. They're deceitful. How many have spoken from the pulpit to lead people away, to follow them? And the priests rule by their own power. So these are leaders, religious leaders. And my people love to have it so. Look at how many people follow them. What about you and I? Who will we follow? What are we doing in our lives? People had come to accept corrupt leadership, and they loved it. That's Jeremiah 5, 30 and 31. Let's go back to, if you're still there, Matthew 24. So there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. That's Matthew 24, verse 7. And verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. It's not going to be a nice time. It's going to be a troubled time, a time that has never been like before. And then verse 9, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. Why? Because you stand for the truth. You hate deceit. You've learned to trust God. You're a true witness. And then many will be offended. Many aren't going to like it. They don't like it today, do they? When we're not obeying God, who are we obeying? Either obeying God with a capital G or the God with a little g. When we do anything contrary to obeying God, we're of the world. And we want to hate being of the world. We want to use the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to go before our Father and ask for our sins to be forgiven when he's showing us the gift of repentance. We respond to his word, and we want to move forward, and we want to repent. We want to change. We want to ask for forgiveness. We want to seek forgiveness. We want to live forgiveness with a relationship with God and a relationship with each other. But others will not. They will betray one another and will hate one another. They don't want to be of that way. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Then more deception, more lies. Christ is telling his disciples, take heed. Have a mindset. These things are going to happen before my return. And because of lawlessness, the love of many will grow cold. Those who are not going to keep God's law and ask God to help them to keep God's law, God's Holy Spirit leaves. It's gone. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. That's promising. Wow. Endure. Can't do it on our own. God does it. God helps us. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and the end will come. We want to be a part of that. Whether we are in the tribulation, whether it's now, whatever God has in store. He does have in store a place for protection. Talks about that. But in conclusion, God has a plan for all mankind. Let's turn over to Zechariah chapter 8. Because this we see here is God's take. And we want to be a part of what God thinks and what God is about. We want to be aligned with him. Zechariah chapter 8, starting in verse 14, we'll read 14 through 17, Zechariah chapter 8. Verse 14, for thus says the Lord of hosts, just as I determined to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, says the Lord of hosts, and I would not relent. Okay, so there was a time for that. There was a time for that. Just like in our lives, there's a time for discipline. When I was younger, I got a spanking. Nowadays, you don't do that. World, you know, the world doesn't want you to do that. But it's discipline. We got disciplined. And then your parents, if you had good parents, the discipline was there to help you to not do it again and to be there to show you the right way to live and to show that love and kindness and the right way to live. And this is what God says in verse 15. So again, in these days, I am determined to do good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Do not fear. All right? So he's given them another chance. He'll give everyone a chance. We have the opportunity now. We need to take heed to God's word. These are the things you shall do. What is he going to teach? Hopefully we're there to be able to be living it and teaching it as well. Speak each man to the truth to his neighbor. Give judgment in your gates for truth, justice, and peace. Let none of you think evil in your heart, in your core of who you are. Get rid of it. We'll show you the way. Don't have that against your neighbor. And do not love a false oath, for all these things are things that I hate, says the Lord. God is fully aware of our tendencies to sin. He's fully aware of that. Don't be discouraged. But don't practice sin. Romans 3:23 tells us that God is aware of our tendencies to sin. But also Romans 12:2, he extends his forgiveness and power to help transform our lives and our thinking with the power of his Holy Spirit. That's wonderful. Are you and I willing to overcome all forms of lying? All forms of deceit, all forms of ungodliness. I mean, God loves us. He cares for us. He's showing us the right way to live. If we just come to him and seek him, he will help us. If we seek him like hidden treasure, if we follow him as he leads us, if we're willing to overcome our understanding and really seek God's understanding to get Satan's thoughts out of our head, then God invites us to share in his kingdom for eternity. Brethren, let these words sink deep into your ears.